Mr. Bert Hensley will come up and bring us another song message.
Before we start, I got to pick at Bruce. can't let him off easy.
Amen.
You ought to have seen him last night down on his all fours with a straw pushing the button up to him. You succeeded, though, didn't you?
Blood pressure hadn't come down yet.
We had a good time last night, so I got to pick at Bruce a little bit. Got a question for you. Where will you be today if Christ has not come down and paid the ultimate price?
Yes, sir.
This song today kind of goes along with it. I got the breath to sing it. Look at you. For there is no sign of the cross here. History records there were three. To sin because a man broken law, but I know the other stood there for me. Didn't know Peter or Judas, but I know the shame of their pride. I'm glad he came to die in my place. The cross in the middle should have been mine. Didn't deserve the mercy of merit so much grace. And this unworthy man can understand why a man of no wrong took my rightful place. And if you ever stop at Calvary, the blood is all you'll find. For you'll feel it too, why I think like I do. The cross in the middle should have been mine. I never heard the hammer. No. I never saw when the angry God cursed as the prisoner fell. They never knew the center. We were some other place and time. The choice was all his. But the truth was in his cross in the middle. Should have been mine. The choice was all his. But the truth was in his. The cross in the middle. Should have been mine.
Today we have a real treat. We have two of our young ladies, Peyton and Lydia. They're going to bring us a song, and they're in the second and third grade, so this is their first time performing in front of people, so y'all be praying for them.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to move on up to our high school girls, Emma and Adriana. Thank y'all for that. Now I'm going to call on Dennis Higdon. He's got an interactive song for our congregation to sing. So.
You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. You will receive a grade from your participation, okay? Is everybody clear on that? Let me see. Is everybody clear? All right, we need somebody that we can sort of trust. Amen? As our judge. How about Preacher James over here? Come on, James, right here, buddy. Yeah. Didn't he do a wonderful job last week? Come on. Like I said, this is participation and is pass this or fail. you look over the congregation. All right, you already, come on, let's go. We're going to participate. You already know the song. You already know it. You've been doing it for 900 years. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy, you're not singing with me. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
That was good.
If you come up on the board to be elected as a school teacher, we're gonna have to talk to you. All right, that was round one. You passed. You passed. Okay. Round two. If you're happy and you know it, give a smile. If you're happy and you know it, give a smile. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. You're not singing with me. If you're happy and you know it, give a smile. If you're happy and you know it, shake a hand. If you're happy and you know it, shake a hand. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, shake a hand. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Come on, Jay. Come on. How'd you do
it? Now, this short-term memory loss that most of y'all have, I am really preparing Preacher and Della. The first question that they ask when you go into the nursing home. Remember this.
What do you mean by
that? Yeah, y'all are getting old. The first, and I'm serious about this one now. People that are going in the nursing home, get ready. Young people remember three things, whatever. One of the questions on the test, because I used to do it. One of the questions on the test in the nursing home to score you for all this sort of stuff is they give you three things. They'll say, okay, I want you to remember this. They say, I want you to remember an apple, a chair, and a hummingbird. And then they go on and talk for a little while. I did it. We go on and talk for a little while. And then they come back to you and they say, now, what were those three things?
Apple, chair, and hummingbird.
You've been in the nursing home. You don't count. All right. All right. Let's go over that last one again. Y'all did such pitiful. We got to prepare for something. If you're happy and you know it, give a smile. If you're happy and you know it, give a smile. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, give a smile. If you're happy and you know it, shake a hand. If you're happy and you know it, shake a hand. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say
amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it,
say amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say
amen.
Okay. Some of you have already diagnosed you got short-term memory loss. And then some of you can't read this right here. So that's two strikes right there. Number one, you can't hear and you can't see. So that's three strikes right there. So I'm going to help you out. Ready? If you're happy and you know it,
say amen.
If you're happy and you know it,
say amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it,
say amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say
amen.
If you're happy, come on, let me hear you. If you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it,
say amen. Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three. I held up amen three times. You were going to go, amen, amen, amen. And what did they do? One more time. We're going to do it real quick. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen. Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Did they pass?
At the end again.
Amen.
Okay, now that everyone is seated, we're going to go into our offertory hymn, page 600. We'll sing all three verses. Page 600. If you'd like to stand, please feel free to do so.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, a time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the Savior verse shall gather, when the road is called up yonder.
times again, Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings of the week, Lord, and your guidance and leadership, Lord. We just continue to want to follow you. Lord, we come to this time to serve us, to give back a part that you have given us and blessed us with. Lord, just take it and do what's pleasing in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning is hymn number 31, We Bow Down. We'll sing both verses, page 31. Each other in God's love.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I mean, you're glad to be in God's house today.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Dennis, you got them fired up now. Let's hear that again one more time. How many of you glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Woo! Lord have mercy. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, we had a great time last night at the Fall Festival. That is until they got me down on that floor with that thing, blowing that little spider. All things in life come at a cost, amen. My blood sugar was up this morning. My blood pressure was up. My sinuses were messed up. Well, that may have had a part to do in it, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I encountered something that is as close to hell as I ever plan on getting, and that was those things that Carrie brought last night, amen. Those jalapeno wraps. I renamed those the gates of hell, and they shall not prevail against us, amen. Those things were hotter than, whew, I don't know. Amen, amen. That was some good stuff, though. We're just glad to see everybody today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Guys, I don't know about you, but each and every day that God gives me another day, I'm just thankful to be able to serve Him. And be able to stand up and testify about Him and about the great things He's done in my life. And I hope and pray that all of you feel that way. Because, guys, we're going to face persecution. I want to talk to you today about considering it joy when you face trials and when you face persecutions. Because, guys, this is just part of being a believer. This is part of being a believer. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to take a few things away from this message today that, guys, if you are serving God the way He's called you to serve Him, you're going to face persecution at some point in time in your life. It's just it's a known thing. It's going to happen. So I'm going to ask all of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to read John chapter 5. I meant to say Matthew chapter 5. Sorry about that. Listen, I'm going to get in John chapter 15, but we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 5. Amen. So flip over just a little bit before that and go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verse 10, 11, and 12 real quick. Beginning with verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, so much for the great time we've already had in your house today. I pray now, God, the Holy Spirit will just descend on this service once again. Lord, let nothing I say be about me or around me, but let it all be about you to glorify you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, that was kind of an unexpected statement from the lips of Jesus right there, wasn't it? Consider it joy. Blessed are they which are persecuted. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, you ought to be happy when you get persecuted. That's not fun, though, is it? I mean, when I think of persecution, I don't think real good things. I think about people, you know, getting ugly and bitter and things like that, But guys, I'm going to tell you what, as a born-again believer, we got to learn to consider it joy. Amen? When we face those things. You see, why would Jesus associate joy and happiness with persecution? Because, guys, I want y'all to understand one thing real quick, okay? We are not here to earn rewards and just get all this glory and all this uplifting stuff here on earth. We're here to serve God. Amen? Amen. We're here to serve Him, and in doing so, we're going to store up treasure in heaven, and in doing so, we're going to face persecution. It's going to happen. Because guess what? It happened to Jesus, amen? And if it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. You think Jesus is just going to raise us up and say, okay, hey, I took all this myself, so you don't have to suffer any of it, so you don't have to endure any of it. No, that's not the way it works. In fact, it's just the opposite of that. It's just the opposite of that. There's plenty of verses throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that speak of this. I want to read a few of them to you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. But beware of men, for they will devour you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. 2 Timothy 3:11-12, persecutions, afflictions I endured. This is Paul talking now. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. And look at verse 12, man, I love verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Everybody hear what I said? Everybody who lives in Christ Jesus shall face and suffer persecution. It's going to happen. It's just a gimme. It's going to happen. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Guys, we don't like to feel hated, though, do we? We don't like to feel like people don't like us, that they're against us. That goes against our human nature. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like it if I think people don't like me. It's a natural human emotion to want to be liked and loved. That's just a human emotion. We cannot get rid of that. Jesus is love, so therefore we're going to feel love. And we're going to want to share love and we'll want to be loved. But guys, you got to understand one thing. We got to learn to handle love and persecution together, because you really don't have one without the other in life. You're going to have both, and you need to be able to deal with both of them in the right way. Of course, it's easy to love somebody when they love you back, right? It's difficult to love people when they are being abusive towards you and they're not being the kind of person that you thought they would be. But guess what, guys? It's been that way since the beginning. Nothing is any different. It's been that way for years. Guys, I want to read something to you real quick I came across. And I want you to listen to this, because this really touched me right here. This is what it's all about right here. Listen to this story right here. A true story here. Years ago, when communism still held the Soviet Union in its iron clinch, a little group of Christians met behind closed doors in the underground. This was a secret meeting, a secret church service. Aren't you glad we don't have to be in secret when we serve God?
Amen.
Man, we come in here every Sunday. We walk right through that door. We don't have to worry about anybody persecuting us for that, do we? Amen. But not this group. It said, suddenly the doors burst open and two soldiers appeared with submachine guns. They shouted to all those who were willing to renounce Jesus Christ, you've got 5 minutes to leave. Everyone who remains will be shot immediately. As you can imagine, every Christian in that place began to search their heart and ask themselves, am I willing to die for Jesus Christ right now, today? A few got up and left. Ashamedly, quietly, they left with their heads hung low. Most of the people stayed. As the last one left, a soldier shouted, is that it? He held up his gun and repeated, anyone else? Another man rose and ran out the door. The soldiers locked the doors and turned toward the people. They laid down their guns and said, brothers and sisters, we too are Christians. We do not want to worship the Lord with anyone who is not willing to die for him.
Amen.
Wasn't that powerful right there?
Amen.
How about that? Now that the half-hearted have gone, let's have church. Amen.
Amen.
Now that the half-hearted are gone, let's have church. What a service they must have had together that day. Walked in with guns and said, if you're willing to renounce the name of Jesus, get up and leave, or we're going to kill everybody else that's left. Some of them got up and left, but the rest of them that stayed, those guys knew, hey, this is who we need to be with. We need to be with this group because they're willing to die for Jesus.
Amen.
Guys, would we be willing to do that? Would we be willing to do that? You know, it's hard to understand why we face persecutions and sufferings, but I can tell you this. Through that, it can build a unified, strong church. When people go through things and they rally around each other and they come together with each other, it'll certainly help strengthen the church. You know, in the U.S. right now, nobody's asked to die for Christ, are they? I wonder how many of us, if somebody busted through that door right now with those guns and said, you people here at Bethesda Baptist Church, if you're willing to renounce the name of Jesus, you can run out that door and I will not do anything to you, but those of you that stay, you're going to die. How many people to turn and run out that door right now? I guarantee you one thing, there's somebody in this building right now that'd go out that door. You know why? Because if you're not willing to serve him in this life, you're certainly not willing to die for him. Amen?
Amen.
So you see, if you're willing to die for Jesus, you're going to be serving him. You're going to be willing to face persecution in your life. Think about it. Man, I had to preach to myself long and hard on this sermon right here. The Lord gave me this thing about 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, Lord, This story, when I came across this story, I'm like, I had to sit there for a minute and say, now, would I really be that strong if that really did happen? You know what? I really believe I would be. I certainly would not renounce the name of my Lord and Savior, because you know what? The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. As soon as we leave this place called earth, we're going to be with our Heavenly Father if we know Jesus is our Savior. Amen. So consider it joy. Amen. Amen. Consider it joy if you have to face those persecutions and everything like that. Guys, this stuff's happening all over the world. When we see good people suffering, we are tempted to doubt what Jesus is doing here. God, what are you doing? These are good people. These are good people. But guys, think about it. This has happened throughout the Bible. Abel was righteous. Cain was wicked. Guess what? Cain killed Abel. That shouldn't have happened, should it? I mean, the righteous one got killed by the unrighteous one. How about David? King David. He was a man after God's own heart. Why is he constantly dodging spears? Why was Saul trying to kill him? If you're a man after God's own heart, don't you think you'd move through life and not have to face persecution? No, it didn't happen that way. Why is Daniel, who was considered the purest in the kingdom, thrown into the lion's den? That doesn't make sense, does it? Why was John the Baptist, who was referred to as the best man ever born of woman, beheaded? The best man ever born to woman. He gets his head chopped off. Why? Because he loved Jesus, because he was serving God. Amen. I ask you this question today. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to face persecution, even up to dying for the name of Jesus? Because guys, if you wouldn't, you're in it for the wrong thing. Amen. You got to get right with God, and you got to be willing to stand up for Him no matter what. The Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say might. It says what? Shall or will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. You got to be ready for it. You got to be prepared for it. Guess what? It's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you something. That's how we grow in the Lord. That is how we grow in our walk. We face persecution with dignity. We love our enemies. We do good to those who mistreat us. And in doing so, we're storing up treasure in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
That's one thing we got to realize. Hey, it's just as much our fault if when the world lashes out at us, we lash back. That's where we make a mistake. That's why we make a mistake. I want to jump in here now to John chapter 15. Pick up with me in verse 17. John chapter 15, verse 17. And I'm going to preach on these verses for a few minutes. And I hope and pray that you'll listen to what they say here. Verse 17 of John chapter 15. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Love. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Love your enemies. Do good to those who mistreat you. Does that really make sense in this world in which we live? Not from a worldly perspective, but from a godly perspective, it makes perfect sense. Because let me tell you something. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loved everybody he came in contact with. Jesus did not repay evil for evil. Jesus did not mistreat those he came in contact with. Jesus showed them love and compassion. And that's one of the hardest things that we as believers will be called upon to do, is to love those who persecute us. It's going to be difficult. But guys, guess what? You want those rewards in heaven one day? You want that treasure in heaven one day? Then you got to do it, amen? And you got to be willing to do it. And people have got to be able to see you in times of stress and persecution hold up under that pressure. Because, guys, it's tough. I know our young people face all kind of trials and things every day, especially if you're trying to live a Christian and godly life. You got people at school that they are over here on the left and you're over here on the right, and some people are caught in the middle and you really don't know where to turn. Let me tell you what, if you turn up, you're always turning in the right direction, amen?
Amen.
If you turn up, you're always turning in the right direction. So don't get caught up in what's going on in the world. The world is under the control of who?
Satan.
Satan is controlling this world. Everything about this world is being controlled by Satan. And if you sit down for enough time, He's going to convince you to come and join what he's trying to do here, and that's to destroy the Word of God. That's try to destroy godly people and turn them into ungodly people. But guess what? You don't have to be that way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You don't have to be that way. You know why? Because a man named Jesus came and died on this thing called a cross. And in doing so, he showed love. Greater love hath no man that he should lay down his life for a friend. So you see, Jesus laid down his life for us. You know what? He was persecuted, right? He was beaten. He was spat upon. He had a crown of thorns crammed down on his head. Did he say one thing to those people who were persecuting him? No. You know what he said as he was dying on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in death and punishment and persecution, Jesus still showed what?
Love.
Say it louder.
Love.
Jesus showed love when he was dying on that cross for us. And we're to do the same thing. Guys, we got to love. Verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Woo, amen. Guess what? This world hated Jesus a lot longer than it hated you, right? Amen. I mean, people may hate us and dislike us now, but guess what? They did the same thing to Jesus, these so-called religious leaders of his day. They hated him. They persecuted him. The Pharisees, who should have been right there with Jesus and all this law and all this Bible they knew, they couldn't have been any more lost than anybody. You know why? Because they had the Savior standing right there in front of them and couldn't see it. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. Guys, we can't see the forest for the trees sometimes. God is bringing situations in our life. God is allowing us to go into a time of persecution and trial. We're not considering it joy. We're considering it misery. We're turning and burying our head in the sand when God wants us to turn our eyes to Him and say, Lord, You suffered and so am I. Praise be to You. Amen. That's what it's all about. We got to learn to suffer with dignity. We got to learn to face trials with dignity. Guys, can you tell I'm passionate about this? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm going to tell you something. You know what the book of James says about our life? Our life is like a vapor. It's like this mist. It just appears here for a little while and then it's gone. And what you've done while you're here on this earth will be the legacy you leave behind. Did you leave a legacy of mistrust and hatred and bitterness? Or did you leave behind a legacy where they're going to look at you as you're getting ready to be buried out there in that cemetery and they're going to say, you know what? That was one person that kept a smile on their face. They loved people. It didn't matter how ugly people were to them. They always had a smile on their face. Isn't that going to be a great way to go out? Amen. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of us believers who are just not that way. We don't consider it joy when we go through trials. Boy, I tell you what, I've been through some trials in my life. I think everybody in here could say they've gone through some. But you know what? I did consider it joy. You know why? Because through some of the trials I've gone through in my life, some people have come to know the Lord because of it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's all worth what you go through in life. You've gotten to when you can actually help lead somebody to the Lord because of something that happened in your life that was not a good thing, then you got to consider it joy. You got to praise God. You got to praise Him in the storms of life. Guys, I understand some things are not right in your lives. There's going to be times where you feel like, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why have You forgot about me? Trust this, Jesus never forgets His children.
Amen.
He's never going to forget His children. He's going to love you no matter what. Now, He's not going to always be pleased with us because sometimes we're going to do things that are displeasing to Him. But He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Young people, Jesus is always with you. Older people, Jesus is with you. Even if you're going down some of life's darkest journeys, He's with you.
Yes.
And He will never leave you. Amen. Let me get one of those Dennis Higdon's amens. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Guys, y'all be getting excited about something here. I tell you what, we're saying so many amens. I tell you what, woo, praise God for that. You know, that'd even make an Episcopalian say amen, right? Woo, hallelujah. You know, I hope nobody's Episcopalian here. I'm just joking around, okay? Amen. You know, But guys, Jesus loves us. Verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the truth of the matter. You know the reason people tend to persecute people in this world? Now, I'm talking about godly people right here, right now. You know, godly people persecute other godly people too, right? Amen? You got to understand that. And when that happens, guys, you got to take a step back and you got to say, okay, what is the root cause of this? What is this happening for? Because I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times God will bring circumstances in your life to move you into the next chapter of your life. Sometimes God doesn't intend for things to stay as they are. Amen? You got to look at the situation. You got to say, Jesus, I don't understand it. Jesus, I'm hurt by this. Jesus, this doesn't make sense to me, but because you're my Savior and Lord, I got to believe you're doing it for my best interest. Amen? I got to believe this is for me and my best interest. And guess what? I'm going to build on that. I'm going to trust that, because there's been plenty of times in my life where I've said, God, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense to me. You know what he told me? You know what the Holy Spirit came over me and told me? My ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. I can see the end of the story. You only see the present chapter that you're going through. But I can see the end of your story, and I'm going to do what's right for you. And in the end, it's going to bring me glory, and it's going to bring you happiness. Amen. I can promise you that. It's going to do those things if you'll just trust him. Verse 22 said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, I came and I did all these things in my Father's name and you still hated me. So guys, guess what? The world's going to hate us sometimes. But guess what? Consider it joy when that happens. Consider it joy. You know why? Because as I've said before, I talked about keys to a blessed life for 2 weeks here. And part of those keys was this. You got to learn to do certain things in your life if you want God to continue to bless you. And one of those things is you've got to love your adversaries. In other words, your persecutors, your haters. Amen. You got to love them. There's plenty of people love to hate. Some of y'all don't understand that expression, but trust me, that's an expression today. Amen. Some of you don't understand it, but you got to love your haters. You got to do good to those who mistreat you. And in doing so, guess what? You're adding one more jewel to your crown each time you do that. And finally, you fill up that crown, and Jesus gives you another crown, and you start putting jewels in that crown. And guess what? When you're facing the Savior at the judgment seat of Christ, you get to cast that crown at the foot of Jesus and get the rewards that you earned. Amen? Amen. That's going to be a great day. But guess what? Some of us are cutting our rewards short. You know why? Because when we face persecution, we want to lash out. We want to get even. We don't understand that, hey, this is a part of the life of a believer and we got to go through this and we got to struggle with this. And in the end, we're going to get rewarded for it. Not during the middle of it, not at the beginning of it, but in the end, when our life comes to an end, we're going to get what God has given us. And that's rewards for doing the right thing. For doing the right thing. Look at verse 25. Let's look at verse 25. But this cometh to pass that the world might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. So you see, Jesus was hated and there was absolutely no reason for him to be hated. Jesus did nothing but good. How can you hate somebody that does nothing but good? But these people found a way to hate him. You know why? Because they couldn't get that foot out of the world long enough to realize that the Savior was right there with them. They were blinded by their own selfish ambition. Guys, that's why the Scripture says if you want to follow Him, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him daily. Amen?
Amen.
We're not denying ourselves a lot of times. We're holding on to selfish things. And that's why when we face persecution in life, we're not able to deal with it. Because it's all about us then. Oh my God, this is not fair. Why did this happen to me? Oh, it's just awful. Well, get up out of the ashes and get on with your life and praise God for that storm you just went through. Because guess what? If you learn something from it, then every bit of it was worthwhile. And I'm going to tell you this, every storm God allows you to go through in your life, every bit of persecution God allows you to face will make you stronger than you were the day before.
Amen.
And it'll make you prepared to enter into heaven one day and be able to cast your crown at His feet and have Him say these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in."
Amen.
You were good in these little things in life that I asked you to do. Now guess what? I'm going to reward you beyond all measure. You'll never even be able to imagine what I'm fixing to do for you. Yeah, you struggled a little. Yeah, you lost this loved one. Yeah, you lost this job. Yeah, you lost this relationship. Yes, you lost this friendship. But guess what? You gained heaven because of it. Amen.
Amen.
You gained some reward because of it. So guys, don't grow weary in doing good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. For in due season, you will reap if you do not grow weary.
Amen.
Don't grow weary in doing good. How do you combat evil? You act good. How do you combat hatred? You show love. How do you get rid of lying? You tell the truth.
Yes.
And the truth shall set you free. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you more than you'll ever know. I'm going to be honest with you here. I don't think some of you understand just how much Jesus loves us. Our young people sing a song about that. Oh, how He loves us. But I don't think we really understand that. Because in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's persecution. That's persecution for a bunch of worthless sinners who didn't deserve it. But He did it anyway. And guess what? He expects us to do it anyway. Amen?
Amen.
He expects us to forgive them anyway. He expects us to love them anyway.
Amen. Amen.
He expects us to pick ourselves up and still glorify Him even when we're as low as we can possibly be in our life.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, when you do that, you're getting the picture.
Yep.
But if all you do when persecution and trial comes into your life is you run over here and you bury your head in the sand and you say, "God, that wasn't fair. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to have anything else to do with this, that, or the other," you miss the whole purpose for why He allowed you to go through that.
Yep.
Amen. There's always a purpose and a plan behind everything God does. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be as a body of believers. God doesn't do anything but what He wants done in your life. He doesn't allow anything more than you can handle at that point in time in your life, but He's going to sometimes give you everything you can handle. Amen. So you better be ready. Sometimes He's going to load both barrels and fire both of them right at you. You got to be ready for what's coming. You got to be ready for persecution. It's coming. The Scripture says it. And it says that we should consider it joy. Consider ourselves blessed for being able to face it. But guys, what it boils down to is this, and I'm going to be done. What it boils down to is this. It's not about the situation itself so much as it is, how do you handle it? How do you handle it? Think about this, guys. Person A, I'm going to give you a little scenario here. You got person A over here that has been wronged. You got person B over here that is not willing to forgive and not willing to move on and not willing to acknowledge that anything was done wrong. Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter about that. It doesn't matter about that. We're called to love. We're called to lift each other up. My job as a pastor of this church is to never choose sides. When something's going wrong in somebody's life, my job is to give you godly examples of how to handle things in life.
Yes.
And that's what my goal is. I'm telling you right now, you're going to face persecution. I'm also telling you right now, if you want to glorify God and get something out of it, you've got to continue to praise Him and continue to love your enemies, even though your heart says sometimes no. Even though your head tries, well, your heart's not going to tell you that. Your head tries to tell you that. The devil's trying to tell you that. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him, guys. Listen, I'm so proud of us here. I'm so proud of what God's doing in our church. But guys, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's not going to be without some heartache along the way. It's not going to be without trials along the way. You know why? Because we've got to be put in the fire and be tested and be refined. Fire refines. Fire purifies. Why do you think you heat up things to get rid of bacteria? Heat and fire purify. So don't you think God's going to throw us in the fire every now and then to get us purified? To get us ready for what He's got in store for us? Man, if you could only get a glimpse of what God's got in store for you, you would just not believe it. But on the flip side of that, if you're not careful, you won't be getting all that He really wants to give you because you're not going to let go and let Him be Lord of your life from every aspect of your life. I want to challenge you today to do that. You know, here's the thing. Here's one real strong indication you can look for, guys, that's going to very much measure how willing you are likely to die for Christ and just give your whole life to Him. And that is, are you living for Him now? Because if you're not living for Him now, guys, I guarantee you, if somebody busted in that door like we talked about a minute ago and threatened to kill everybody who believed in Jesus, a lot of people would get up and run out of here because they're just not that sold out for Jesus. You know, to some people, Jesus is just this little figurine that we take out every now and then and that we, you know, talk about on Sunday. He's not really right here where He needs to be in your heart, where you go out and you live your life for Him every day. And when you face struggles and you face troubles in life, you turn to Him and you say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust You. You know why? Because You're my Savior. And You love me. And I'm going to trust You no matter what. And I can promise you this, folks. When you love Jesus and you love others, no matter if they're being ugly to you, you love them anyway. I'm going to tell you what. You'll learn a lot through those times of persecution and those times of trial. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You know, somebody spits in your face, that's a sin for them. You turn around and spit back, that's a sin on you. Amen. Don't let your sins override the good that God wants you to do in a situation. Everybody understand what I'm saying? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
And say it Dennis Higdon's way.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I want you to feel good when you leave here today. Don't you keep your head down. Let me tell you something. You're all fearfully and wonderfully made in the form of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You got nothing to be ashamed of. God made each and every one of you as an individual. He's got a plan for each and every one of you. Don't worry about it if it seems like, you know, we try to say, God, that shouldn't have been your plan. Oh, yes, it was. That's God. Amen.
Amen.
Don't worry about what His plan is. You just follow Him wherever He goes. And I promise you this, you'll never go wrong. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
Do you really believe that? Because I'm telling you guys, here's the deal. You got to trust Him and you got to obey Him no matter what comes in your life. Because when you're able to do that, then you will wake up the next day and you're going to feel a little bit better than you did the day before. You know, there's an old song, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's so true. That's so true. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Don't let the devil mar your beautiful day. Don't let the devil take your beautiful day away from you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ. Each and every one of you in this room right now, don't forget it. God loves you. Jesus loves you. I love you. The people in this church love you. You've got no reason to be ashamed about anything. You've got no reason to be down and out. If you face persecution, consider it joy. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You, Lord, for letting us go through trials. Lord, You put me through some, and I thank You for every one of them. God, I'm excited about the trials I'll face ahead because I know one thing. It's going to bring me even more glory for You. And God, it's going to bring me some rewards along the way if I just keep my head about myself and I continue to glorify You during it. And Lord, I pray for each and every person here today. I pray they'll search their hearts and souls and minds God, I pray if somebody came into this house today bitter and angry, that, Lord, they'll just lay it down. And, Lord, they may have been facing persecution in their life right at this point in time. God, I pray they'll just love their way through that. God, that you'll just love through them. And, God, you'll help them understand that, hey, your ways are not our ways, but your way is always the right way. Amen. And, God, I just thank you for that, Lord. Just pray, God, that decisions will be made for you today. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? 249. Let's stand and sing hymn number 249. This altar is open. I believe some of us need to come up here and just ask God to cleanse us and just restore us. Just make us new again. Make us new again. Because that's what it's all about.